This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad. And give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We thank you for the anointing that you've put in your word. And we ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, to anoint us, God, and to have your will and your way in our lives, God. Help us right now, Lord, to comprehend your word and to get our mind on this service right now. Not ahead, not what's behind. Right here, right now, in the name of Jesus. We love you and we praise your name in the church. Say it. Amen. Y'all can be seated. I was reading about 8-year-old Nana had brought her report card home from school. Good, mostly A's, a couple of B's. However, the teacher had written across the bottom, Nana is a smart little girl, but she has one fault. She talks too much in school. Anybody here know to do that? I have an idea what I'm going to try, which I think may break her of the habit. Daddy signed a report card, putting a note at the back saying, please let me know if your idea works on Nana, because I'd like to try it on her mother. Isn't God good? All right. This is the day. Now, even here right now, be honest with me. Be totally honest. You ain't got to raise your hand, but I want you to be honest with yourself, not me. You don't have to raise your hand, but I want you to think about it. Just think about it. How many here is already thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon? You're trying to work out something. Don't raise your hand. You're trying to think about something happening this afternoon and how you got to get your meal or where you're going to go eat or something that you got to do. And so you're so busy in that you miss out on what God's doing. Or how many in here, you're dealing with a problem. Maybe the problem was yesterday or a week ago or a month ago, and it's still agitating you and it's still getting to you and it's on your mind constantly. So you're sitting here right now, say, I'll be glad when this service is over so I can go worry some more. Wow. We all do that. We're all guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. Remember I told you, and this is what sparked this sermon, a couple of Sundays ago, D.C., we were practicing. D.C. said, where you at, Dad? I said, I'm here. He said, well, you don't sound like it. And so I stopped, and I did one of the exercises I teach everybody else about box breathing, and I started box breathing, and after I got through box breathing and talking myself through that, being everywhere else, I was thinking about the service that day and thinking about something the next day I was going to have to do at the detention center and thinking about all kinds of things. And so as I was thinking about all these things, I wasn't in there with them. And so when I pulled myself back in, we're going along, and DC says, man, where did that come from? And I thought he was talking to Brandon. And then Brandon looked at me and said, well, Jimmy got his groove on today. He's talking about me, but the problem was I weren't there. To be totally honest with you, how many today you're here, but you're not here? Let's get real. You're here, but you ain't here. You're here in body, but your mind's so far away. You know, if I was counseling right now or talking to Peter Steins, I'd just ask him, where you at? Where you at right now? Tell me where you're at. Because although we're talking and they're nodding, they ain't heard a word I said. That's why I put the thing about mama talking all the time. All right. So this is just the beginning. I'll just put my sleeves down a little. I won't buckle them because I'll have to get happy. This is the intro, and I don't know how many weeks we're going to do on this, but after this, listen very carefully. After this set of sermons, I'm going to preach on recovery and the 12-step program. But I'm going to preach it in a whole different way. It's got, listen, of course there'll be drugs and alcohol in it. There's all kinds of things that can be in it. But did you know that every last one of us live in some state of recovery? from the sin that was in our life, from the where we came from, our lifestyle, the changes that we're constantly making in our lives, the way we're trying to better ourselves. So know this, that's why I don't ever look down anybody, my nose at anybody, is because we all, every last one of us, y'all say we all live in a state of recovery. And a state of recovery is getting back to the image that God gave us. That's recovery. Getting back to the image God gave us. And if you're so perfect that you don't have to get anywhere, then you need it most of all. All right? So here we go. But let's talk about today. This is the day. So DC, thank you. Y'all can thank DC for this set of sermons, for getting on me that Sunday. So once you get your Bibles out, put them in your lap, and we're going to stop and we're going to turn. I won't have all the scriptures up here, because sometimes having them all up here sometimes makes us lazy. Okay, so we're going to get our Bibles out, and we're going to go back and forth on some things from time to time. So this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Now this is. Forgot, I got DC. We're using DC's PowerPoint a while ago. There we go. And I forgot to put in my little gear. All right, now let's try it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. So now, watch this. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What man can do to me? We don't have to turn to that one right now. I just put that up there. Look. This is the day that the Lord hath made. It's a powerful reminder that every day, y'all say every day, good, bad, or ugly, every day is a gift from God, okay? Every day is a gift of God, and every moment an opportunity to rejoice in His goodness and to recognize His hand in our lives. He's here, whether you know it or not. He's here watching. My little sister got up here and sang a while ago, God's heart melted with joy. And God just blessed God so much, it blessed me, it blessed all of us. Amen. When we were up here singing and playing, God was saying, you know what? I like that music. Because He's the creator of music. Amen. So, God's with us in the light, God's with us in the dark, and you can rest assured He's with us in all things, and all things are working together for our good. Look at this now. All things are working together for the good. Now get your Bible out and turn to Romans. Romans. Here we go again. Can you turn that twicking light off, somebody? Where's Eddie? Again. Don't see him. DC, can you find that tweaking light and turn it off, please? Wherever it's at, praise God. Romans 8, I'm turning this with me so we can all get there at the same time. Amen. Romans 8. And 28. Okay? Now, we all got it. The reason I'm using about this instead of my Bible is I've got some more versions in here that I want to read from. Now, ready? The Bible says in 8:28, Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to His purpose. That is the most misrepresented scripture there is. Because so many people say that all things work for our good. All things are for our good. All things are for our good. How many of you ever heard that? All things are for our good. All things are not for your good. A woman getting raped is not for their good. Somebody having cancer in their family is not for their good. Somebody having a terrible disease is not for their good. It says we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Let me read the Amplified Version. We are sure to know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. Good, bad, ugly. The Bible says, we just read that this is the day that the Lord hath made. That word made means to fashion, to produce. It means a recipe. God takes everything, good, bad, and ugly, puts it together, and makes something good out of you. Amen? He does something special in your life that makes you different than anybody else. And it gives you the ability to be empathetic with people that some people could never be empathetic with. Amen? So I thank God for that. So first, we must, this is a powerful reminder. So we have to recognize, get ready, people see God every day. They just don't recognize Him. Wow. Wow. Every day, you never know when God is there. You see, the problem is, in the hustle and the bustle of our daily lives, we lose sight of God's presence. And let me ask you a question. Do not raise your hand. But how many really only read your Bible on Sunday when it's up there? Don't raise your hand. How many really engage with God when there's nobody there to tell you to engage with God? So many people only connect with God on Sunday. But you got to understand something. God never disconnects with you. All right? God never disconnects. He's always there. He's the silent partner. He's the silent witness. He's always there. He's always watching. He always knows. He always sees what we're going through. You cannot hide. God sees us. And so no matter how bad things are, I thank God that He, although I may disconnect with Him, He never disconnects with me. And I thank God for that. We get caught up in our routines. Sometimes our habits get in our way. You know what the biggest habit we got that gets in our way with God? Worry. Did you know that worry is a habit? You know, a lot of people you hear them go, did you hear about this? They go, let me pray about this. But sometimes, if you be truthful, did you hear about that? And instead of saying, let me pray about that, they'll say, let me go worry about that. Worry is a habit that can really, really, really hurt us. And sometimes just our ambitions, we forget that God is right there with us. So remember, although we may disconnect from God, God never disconnects from us. Again, this is just the introduction, okay? God is in me, God is with me, and God is for me. That is such a powerful thing. Say that with me. God is in me, God is with me, and God is for me. That is so powerful. Every moment, every experience, He's there when we wake up, He's there when we lay down, He's there with our joys, our sorrows, He's there with our victories, He's there with our defeats. Turn to Psalm, get ready, we got our Bible again. Psalm 139. God is so good to us. All right, here we go. Get my Bible right here. Psalm 139. And turn to chapter or verse 7. You got your Bible? Say amen. You found it? Say amen. Psalm 139 and 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. And let's just stop there for a minute. This is talking to living people, living people. So there's times when we're connected with God, and there's times when we're not. There's times when we're doing what pleases God, and there's times when we do things that do not please God. There's times where we sabotage ourselves. So if I ascend into heaven, thou art there. Do what you want me to do. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I mess up and do it my way, you're still there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the utmost parts of the sea, even there thy hand shall lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. God is there. God is here. God is here right now in a very, 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 very special way. So now, God's got a plan. I love this. God's got a plan for your life that far exceeds the circumstances of your day. I have made you. I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will rescue you. Isaiah 46:4. God's got, somebody say God's got you. God's got you. Tell somebody else, God's got you. Amen. There's a recognition of God's presence in every experience. And when you can understand that He's here no matter what, it can transform the way you live. Remember, we can disconnect from God, but God never disconnects from us. He's always there. He's always available. And when you understand that, it can bring a sense of purpose and a sense of meaning, even in some of the simplest tasks. When He went to call Peter and Andrew, what were they doing? Washing their nets. That is the hardest, most mundane job that a fisherman had to do, was wash their nets. And the Bible says when Jesus went to call them, that's exactly what they were doing. So God's with you no matter what. It can fill us with joy. It can fill us with gratitude. It's even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we know that God is there. I love this. There's Jesus. And there's the church. Church has got care, worry, problems, needs. And Jesus says, can I carry those books for you? Can I carry them? Praise God. Isn't God awesome? How many times are we working so hard trying to break through the problem, we don't realize that He's standing right there with the key? Hey, let's pray. Ask God to show you. We're so busy trying to figure it out, and sometimes we think God's not even concerned. God don't care about this stuff. He is concerned about everything in your life. I promise you that. So God's presence, if we recognize His presence, it's a very powerful, powerful thing. So He can give us a sense of peace and comfort, even things that don't go our way. We train our hearts and our minds to see God's hand in there. This is a training thing. Training. This next few weeks are going to be training us how to see God. Remember, this is just the introduction. The next few weeks are going to be training us how to see God in everything we do. It's one thing for me just to say it. But if I hadn't started off with, where are you at today? You may have already missed what I said. I'm asking it again. Where are you at today? Are you here? Are you in last week? Are you in tomorrow? Are you in lunch? Are you worried about beating the Baptist to McDonald's? I don't want to beat anybody to McDonald's. Y'all can have it. Amen. The only thing good about McDonald's was the hamburger. Ronald McDonald and the hamburger and all them, and they're not even there anymore. So get ready. Ready? If God's not in a hurry, why are we? I'm going to say something very profound now, and you have to think about it. As a matter of fact, you'll say, yeah, 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 or he don't know what he's talking about, but later on tonight it'll hit you, and you go, wow. Most of the time, listen carefully, most of the time when I miss the miracle, most of the time when I miss out on what God's trying to give me, show me, tell me, when I miss out on what God really had for me, it's not because God was withholding. It's because I got in a hurry and got ahead of Him. I thought I had it all figured out. I thought I got this thing. I know it. And God's saying, you don't know it. Wait for me. How many times after you rushed ahead and did it your way, you found out that God's way would have been a better way? Amen? So most of the time, just think about it, most of the time you're saying, well, God didn't come in for me. God didn't show up. You didn't wait around to see. You just jumped on ahead and assumed God was not going to do anything. God is not in a hurry. He's never late, but he's never in a hurry. So, this fast-paced world that we live in, first thing we got to do, if you're going to sense God's presence in everything, remember, this is the intro, if you're going to sense God's presence in everything you do, you need to slow down. I mean, it hit me like a ton of bricks a few weeks ago, and DC said, where you at, Dad? I'm there with a bass strapped on. I'm playing music. We're playing together. And DC goes, where you at, Dad? And they had to register. I'm here this way, but I'm not here that way. I'm not here that way. Today, right now in this hour, and I can't help but just keep asking. I know you're here physically, but are you here this way? Are you here that way? Because if you really want to see God, if you really want to understand God, if you really want God to show up, and you don't want to get in a hurry and miss Him, you got to engage it here, and you got to engage it here. You see, we live in a very fast-paced life. You know, my boys coming up thought it was hard when the microwave oven was on the blink, and I had to pop corn in a great old big tub on the stove. We were in hard times. When I come up, that's the only way we made popcorn. When they finally come up with Jiffy Pop, I thought they had invented a miracle from God. How many ever made Jiffy Pop without burning it all the time? Every time I made Jiffy Pop, I burnt some. Matter of fact, I burnt most of it. Life can be so fast-paced, so busy, so full of distractions. If you got a little ADHD like I do, DC and Daniel tell me, they go, we're talking, and they'll go, squirrel, Dad. I go, what? And said, you chasing squirrels. We're trying to talk to you, and you chasing squirrels. I said, I'm sitting right here. I said, you sitting here, Dad, but you chasing squirrels. Life is so fast-paced. It's busy. It's full of distractions. We rush from one thing to the next, and we're always looking ahead and planning for the future. And the problem is, with all this going on and all this looking for the future and trying to get it together for tomorrow, we miss the present. We miss what God is doing right now. I remember one time I was going to surprise everybody at the house because I've been watching the Food Network. And I done figured out how to make me a casserole in a glass bowl, and I was so excited. And I was going to make that thing, and when they come home, everybody come home, I was going to flip that thing out, flip it over, and say, ta-da! I got in such a hurry. I got ready to flip out the casserole, and it stuck. And it stuck, and I beat that bowl, and it still stuck. And I had to get something and grind it out. And that nice big old flat casserole was just a bunch of stuff thrown together in the bowl. Because I got such a hurry, I forgot to grease the bowl. That was a terrible casserole. And it would look like somebody had already chewed it up and spit it out. Because I got in such a hurry that I left out one of the main things, grease the bowl. You see, again, if you're sitting here right now and you got your mind on so many other things, you can miss exactly what we're talking about right now. You ever been talking to someone on the phone and they're asking how somebody's doing, and you're telling about all about what's going on, and asking about other things you're telling them, and when you get through telling them, it says, and they're asking you about, how's your dog doing? I know your dog was sick. How's your dog doing? And how's this thing going? They're doing great. I said, they're doing great. Took them to the vet. They looked at him, said they're going to be all right. Had to have a little surgery, but it's going to be okay. And then they go, by the way, and say, oh, by the way, how's your dog doing? Didn't I just say that? How many in here? Guys, fess up. Your wife's talking to you, and you're going, And she want to know what you wanted for supper. And you're going, And you're busy watching little Joe get shot off the horse. I want to know if little Joe's going to make it to the next episode. I can tell you, if he's going to marry somebody, they'll never make it to the next episode. And you're watching it going, And she could tell you, you know what I think I'll do is I'll go outside and I'll get some mud pies. And I'll take it and I'll sprinkle it with some grass and I'll put it up and they're going, What do you think it sounds like, honey? I think it sounds delicious. Are you listening? Are you there? So many times, God's trying to tell us how to get through what we're in. He's trying to help us get through, and we're so busy thinking about all other things. You know what? Little Joe, no matter who made it or not, guess what? It wasn't going to do a thing for me. Not a thing for me. But spending time with my wife and my children, that did a big thing for me. So we get so busy in so many things, we miss out on what God's doing right now. Amen. And so we miss that moment, and we miss God. I've seen services where the Spirit moved so strong. Man, the Spirit was moving strong. And I had a woman come out, and she said, I can't get enough. It's so powerful. And her husband come out and said, yeah, I had about a belly full myself. One was saying, bring it on, God, bring it on. No one said, you can stop now. I got other things more important. Turn your Bible to Psalm 46. If you slow down your pace, or slow down the pace of your life, you can find me anywhere. That's from a Jesus calling devotion. If you slow down your pace, you can find me anywhere. So far today, I've seen God in so many different ways. I've watched Him move in so many different ways. It's been amazing to me to watch what God has done in our presence. And there may be somebody here saying, I'll be glad when God shows up. Remember the woman? I can't get enough. And the husband saying, I had about a belly of it too. So, slow down. Take the time to be still, to be present, to be aware. When you come in here in this church, don't leave your spirit at the door. Don't leave your brain at the door. Leave your worries and your fears and all the things that's bogging you down. Leave them behind you till you get to that altar, and then leave them there. But while you're here, be present with God. You want to have a good service? Be present with God. You want to have a good service, be present in praise and worship. You want to have a good service, be present. Be here and give God everything you've got. Psalm 46 and 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know I'm God. The Amplified Version says, let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I know what the Message says. Ready? Step out of the traffic. Take a long, loving look at me, your high God, above politics, above everything. Step out of it and just be still. Mary and Martha. Martha was busy trying to serve. Mary was at Jesus' feet. Mary gets upset because her sister's not helping. And he says, wait a minute, you're cumbered about many things. Said your sister, the one you think is not doing anything, she's chosen the best part. She has got in line with what I'm doing. Listen carefully. Do you seek every day to get in line with what God's doing? Or do you try to seek God to get in line with what you're doing? Think about it. God, am I getting in line with what you got, what you want? Or am I trying to pull you up and get you in what I'm doing? You can do the same thing, do the same job, but it's a lot different when you're getting in line with what God wants you to do with your job and with your people than when you want them to do what God to do with them, what you want them to do. Slow down. God, let me get in line with what you're doing. Now I'll try to get you to get in line with what I'm doing. Wow. You see, take time to notice the beauty around us, the blessings in our lives, and the presence of God in every moment. Take the time to sit down and breathe. Do you know that one of the biggest things we can do every day that really will help you get in touch with God and get in touch with yourself is to breathe. Just breathe. I'm not talking about Lamaze. By the way, men, just be prepared. That Lamaze will get you hit, all right? In the real stuff. Okay. Matter of fact, when DC was being born, I told his mama, I said, breathe, honey, breathe, breathe, honey, breathe. And she said, what do you think I'm doing, stupid? Get out of my face. Go get my mama. So I left. I said, but I'm the one that had the training. She said, if you don't got this room, you're getting more in training. I'm talking, breathe through your nose. Just stop, take a deep breath, hold it, and talk to God while you're doing it. God, I love you. God, there's nothing like you. God, you're powerful. Help me just to breathe in your grace, God. Watch what happens. I was in the heroin unit one day, and they had a big fight. And they come in, the deputies come in, or the COs come in, and we're taking them out one at a time. And while they were taking them out, I had 15 heroin addicts, and they were just coming down good. They were just drying out good, and they were flipping out. And they said, do something. So I got them all to sit down. And I said, we're going to breathe. I got everybody to stop. And I said, just follow me. Thank you, God, for your presence. Thank you for your power. thank you for your anointing. And all those guys sat down, and all those guys calmed down for 2 hours while they investigated. Stop. Be still. Step out of traffic. Know that He is God. And He's with you in the good, the bad, the ugly. He's there. Secondly, we need to cultivate a grateful heart. A grateful heart is a magnet of miracles. I was reading in a psychology journal yesterday, and this was not even a spiritual journal. This is just a psychological journal. And they said, you want to revolutionize your day. Revolutionize. I said, that I like that. All right, how are we going to do this? They said, three things that can revolutionize your day. So I'm listening. And it said, first thing in the morning, find three things you're grateful for and start being thankful for it. Three things that you're grateful for and start thanking, look, God for it. In a psychological journal, start thanking God for the three things that you're grateful for. Because usually when we get up in the morning, we're not thinking about gratefulness. We're thinking about wakefulness. We're thinking about, get me up. Where's my coffee? Man, I got to go back in today. I got to work with that hard-headed boss. Blah, 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 blah. No. Before your feet hit the ground, think of three things that you're grateful for and start thanking God for it. And it will revolutionize your life. I promise you, your day will be totally, totally different. So, as a matter of fact, a grateful heart is a magnet of miracles. So, gratefulness is a powerful practice. It shifts our focus from what we lack to what we have. When I'm thanking God, guess what? I'm thanking Him because, God, you know what, God? I may not be the prettiest thing in this world, but I got two eyes, two ears, a nose. I got a mouth. I got both my arms. I can walk. I can talk. I can get around on my own. I thank you, God, that although I might not be Superman, I still thank you, God, because I can get around on my own and I can do some things for you, and I don't have to worry about a lot of things. A lot of people have to worry about it. I thank you, God. Think about things that you have versus what you don't have. Ready? It helps us see the good in every situation, a blessing in every trial, grace in every hardship. Start thanking God and be grateful. We need to make a habit to thank God for every moment, every experience, every blessing. Get your Bibles out again. I told you we're going to do some Bible drills, so to speak. Now go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, if you don't know what 1 Thessalonians is, it's right before 2 Thessalonians. Ready? First Thessalonians 5:18, you got it, say amen? I hear pages rustling, so I'll leave it alone for a minute. I always hate when the preacher says, turn somewhere, and he's done read it and took off, but you're still trying to find it. I do think one of the most aggravating times that was in seminary is when the professor said, David, can you read from Matthew, whatever? And I said, is that the Old Testament or New Testament? And he says, do you want a new teacher or do you want to keep the old one? First Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Do not say thank God for everything, but in everything give thanks. Now, let's just take this and break it apart. The Amplified Version. Thank God in every, no matter what the circumstances may be thankful and give thanks. For this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of His will. The Message Version says, thank God no matter what happens. This is the way God wants you to who belong to Jesus Christ, to live. Be thankful no matter what. Man, oh man, can that change your life when you can learn to be thankful no matter what? Look at somebody and say, learn to be thankful no matter what. No matter what. Remember, I don't know, I told some of y'all, I probably told it here, I don't know, but you remember at Bethany's funeral, they were singing a song from Emmaus, and we actually, both sides were doing it. At the same time, it was beautiful, but it was Jesus, Jesus, can I tell you how I feel? You have given me your spirit, I love you so. Bethany, just a few days before she died, she hadn't spoke all day, the cancer had gone to her brain. And I was sitting outside of her room, looking out the windows at the cancer center. And I honestly heard an angelic voice singing that song. And I said, well, who in the world has come to visit Bethany today? And why didn't they come tap me on the shoulder before they went in? And they were singing that song that I just sang for you. And it sounded like it came from heaven. And I walked in real slow to walk around to see who was singing it. And Bethany, in her room, had her hands raised. And it was Bethany singing. Wow. That was so powerful. Because even though she knew she was going out of here, she was thanking God. And she was praising Him. Wow. That renewed my spirit to hear her doing that. So, let's get ready. So, gratitude, number two. Number three, get ready. God is not an option. He's a necessity. Amen? All right. So number three, we need to learn how to trust in God's sovereignty. Either God's either God of all or He's not God at all. Amen? He's either God of all or He's not God at all. I mean, at all. Amen? So here we go. Look at this. God is in control. That can be it right there. That's it. God is in control. God is in control. Even when I'm out of control, He's in control. When circumstances are out of control, He's in control. When I have no idea how to get it back in control, He's in control. I was pastoring a pilot, and the pilot was talking to me, and I've been talking about God's sovereignty. And here's what the pilot taught me. He told me that day, he pulled me to the side after service. And he said, you know, in flight school, I said, well, I've never been to flight school. I plan on going one day when the rapture trumpet sounds. I'm going flying in. He said, when you get in a tailspin, he said, a lot of pilots died in the tailspin. Because they fought it all the way to the ground. Listen carefully. They died in the tailspin because they fought the tailspin all the way to the ground. He said, our instructor taught us, when you get in a tailspin, quit fighting. He said, here's all I want you to do. And they practiced it. He said, when you get in a tailspin, I want you to just take your hands off the stick. And some of the guys are getting upset. Wow, we got to fight that thing. We're going down. It goes, the plane has been designed. Unless it's been shot up pretty bad, the plane has been designed to automatically correct itself in a tailspin. And if you fight it, you will fight it to your death. But if you'll take your hand off the stick, it will self-correct. How many people do you know their life got in a tailspin and they fought it all the way to the ground? How many of you have ever had a problem and you got in a tailspin? And you fought it all the way to the ground, and you crashed and burned, and you blamed God. And God said, why didn't you let go of the stick? I know how to correct your life. I know Because I'm in control. He is the creator of all things, the sustainer of all things, the ruler of all things. Nothing happens without his knowledge. Nothing happens without his permission. Nothing happens without his purpose. Turn now, get your Bible, turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. You got to say amen. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The Amplified Version. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist, cohere, are held together. The Message Version. He was there before anything. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. If you believe God is all sovereign, there's something in your life right now. I know there's got to be. I know if I feel to God, I feel God telling me, the Lord telling me, to tell you there's somebody in here right now, your hand's on the stick, you're in a tailspin, and you're going down, and he's getting me to tell you, I believe it with all my heart. I feel it. If you don't let go of the stick, you're going to crash and burn. Take your hand off the stick and watch God do what you cannot do. Trust him and his sovereignty. So, I'm getting ready to close, getting ready. I can rest in the fact that God is in control, which means I can face things that are out of my control and not act out of control. Amen? So, we need to trust in his sovereignty, trust that he's working all things for our good, that he's using every experience, every moment for his glory, for everything. Now, DC, come on up here and play something. We got a challenge this week. Now, remember, next week we're going to, This is so rich. I don't know how many weeks we're going to do it, but afterwards, we're going to talk about recovery, all right? It's not going to be AA meeting. It's not going to be NA. It's going to be recovery, okay? But it's going to have 12 steps in it, I promise you. All right, ready? This week coming up, here's this week's challenge. Talked about a little earlier in the message. Learn to cultivate daily gratitude. I've told this story so many times, but one day I was sharing a big old snap-on toolbox with some guys, and I was sitting on a stool working in the back of a lift truck. Those guys, that thing's got so many electronics in the back of, and I'm doing the electrical and So I'm not all greasy and stuff. I'm in there doing this, and the guy over here is working on hydraulics, and he's got grease and everything everywhere, and he keeps going to the toolbox back and forth, and it's just a mess. And I'm working, I'm getting so intense on troubleshooting. Then I reach over to my drawer. And that guy, in all his hurry, had hit my drawer shut. And I reached up underneath it to get it. And when I reached up to get it, he reached up and grabbed his drawer and pulled it. I didn't see him because I had my head turned. And I pulled the drawer, and I caught all four fingers in that metal drawer, the facing of it, blood. They were bloody. I hit it. And I started to say something, and all this happened so fast. There was an argument going on in my head. And I was getting ready to holler, ouch, and even say, what are you doing? And I heard the Lord speak to me and say, praise me. My fingers are bleeding. I've cut the tops of every finger. I hear him in my spirit say, praise me and thank me. And I said, this is all going on real quick. And I said to myself, to the Lord, I said, I don't feel like praising you, and I don't feel like thanking you. My fingers are bleeding. And he said, praise me. Thank me. And so when I pulled my hand up, I started praising God and thanking God. And I held up my hand. Blood was running down my fingers. I said, thank you, God. Thank you. And I praised him. And I went over to the sink and I put him under the water and washed him. And later on, somebody came up to me. And they said, you know what? I just heard the greatest sermon I believe I've ever heard. I said, heard a sermon? He said, yeah, I saw one and heard it. I said, what are you talking about? I'm wrapping my hands up. And he goes, I saw what happened. I couldn't stop it. I saw your fingers. And he said, if it had been me, I probably would have threw a hammer at him. And he was laughing. The guy that did it was laughing. And he said, I watched you stand up with bloody fingers and start thanking God and praising him. And he said, I just want you to know that meant more to me than you ever imagine. A life of gratitude. So here it is. Get ready. Begin each morning with acknowledging the day is a gift. Matter of fact, you can even say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Then after you do that, once you reflect on some special blessings, your health, your relationships, your opportunities, think of two or three, four things. I like to think about three things. Even before what I heard in that psychological journal this week, your health, your relationships, your opportunities. Reflect, meaning stop and think about your health, your relationships, your opportunities. And when you do, it's going to shift your focus from your challenges that day to God's provision. And you're going to find this whole week's going to really, really, really do something. And I got one more challenge. You can do it in your phone. You can do it on a piece of paper. However you want to do it. I want you to keep a gratitude journal, noting the three things that you were grateful for that day. Write them down. Why am I going to write them down? Because in the heat of the battle, in the heat of conflict, I may forget what I was thanking God for. When I'm going through something, when things are getting tough, I can go to my gratitude journal. I can see every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and keep on going. And I can see where God, I was thankful to God, and how that changed my day. Now watch what'll happen. Because pretty soon you won't hear this anymore. Where are you at? Are you here? I see you, but I don't think you're here. I've even had somebody come up to me and go, hey, what are you doing? And I said, I'm seeing if you're breathing. I was so deep in thought about something else. I was messing out everything around me. And it come just to see if I was still alive. You want to change all that. That's how it starts. That's all staying. Being grateful, I call it gratitude. Your attitude, gratitude, can literally change your life. It changes your attitudes. It attracts good things. It attracts blessings. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. But nobody looking around, nobody knowing what's going on right now. If you would say, Pastor, I really need some help because I have a hard time being present. I got so many things in my mind. I got so many things I'm thinking about. I got so many things pulling me in so many different directions. I have a hard time keeping it real and keeping me in the present. And I'm missing out on a lot of things, including God's power. If I'm talking to you right now and you're saying, I'm admitting it, and I really need you to pray for me. But nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Would you put that hand up and say, that's me. That's me. That's me. I'm too preoccupied with everything else that I can't keep myself in the present. Lord, bless everybody that raised their hand. Lord, help them, Lord, to realize what a precious gift now is. And to stay in now, not tomorrow, not yesterday, in now. Because it's in now that the power fills us. It's in now that the wisdom floods us. It's in now that we feel you in a very powerful way. And we don't miss out on what you're doing now. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and nobody looking around, every eye closed. You'd be honest and say, I just need God to shift. Help me to shift my attitude. I need God to help me to shift it from negative to positive. Or shift it from complaining to gratefulness. I need God just to help me change my attitude. With nobody looking around, every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you put that hand up? I need a change of attitude. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. I want us all to pray together. Ready? Pray with me. Pray out loud. Father, you're awesome. Help me not to miss out on what you're doing now by being caught up in yesterday or tomorrow. Lord, I thank you again for now. Help me to be in the now. Help me to slow down. Help me to be grateful. Help me to know that you got me no matter what, because you're God Almighty, and I thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. God is so good. Yes, right. Come on. God is so, so, so good. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen? Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer. Not to say the Lord's Prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Benny to dismiss us in prayer. Ready? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.